Stand on it. Stand on what you say. Stand on what you do.
Bay Area, it's Draymond Green. And you're listening to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Day-Day! He gonna be on the team.
Yeah.
He gonna be on the team.
And memo to fans out there, and I love you all, but stop trying to trade him. They're not shopping him. They're not looking to trade him. He's not on the move. He's not Darren Ruff. Draymond is not on the move. He gonna be here, and you can lament and rue the contract like many of us do,
yeah,
but he's going to be here, and they are pot committed for 2 years with Steph, Jimmy, and Draymond.
You right. Got it. No. Yeah,
thank you. There are two Warriors who I think right now you can look at it and go, I don't know if they're on the team next year or not. Two. That's it. It's GP2 and Jonathan Kuminga. That's it. Everybody else is here. And there'll probably be a couple of new names. And they will not be, you know, averaging 20 points a game next year or anything like that.
The only other one that I would maybe throw in would be Moses Moody or Buddy Hield. Like, those are both tradable.
Right. I mean,
Butters, we don't want to see you go. But
you're talking
I'm,
about a pretty significant blockbuster trade. I feel.
Perhaps.
It's not Giannis, but if you're talking Jonathan Kuminga and Buddy Hield and Moses Moody are going to Miami in exchange for, you know, Wiggy or whatever. You're talking about blockbuster light. You know what I mean?
Right.
I think
the surface you are correct, and I don't think that the Warriors are going to be big players and big deals, but if I am another team and I'm looking at the Warriors and I'm looking at a possible sign and trade with an aggregation of a contract, I look at Buddy Hield and his deal. The dude makes peanuts. So if I'm another team out there, that is somewhat attractive to me.
Okay.
95.7 The Game, breaking news.
We got a little something here that could provide some sort of light at the end of the tunnel on a Kuminga conversation.
Oh.
This is not Kuminga, but this is Kuminga adjacent.
Okay.
All right, free agent shooter Duncan Robinson has agreed to a new 3-year, $48 million deal with the Detroit Pistons. Now, the fact that Duncan opted out of his contract with the Miami Heat did give the Heat some more space, and they are absolutely one of two teams we've been told to keep an eye on with regard to Jonathan Kuminga. So the fact that he both opted out and then left to go to a different team, does this leave Miami in a spot where they might be interested in a 3-year, $60 million deal for Kuminga, which could lead to some sort of a sign and trade? By the way, this does not mean Wiggins is coming back unless, again, it's the deal that you were just talking about, which is more players getting added in.
Right.
Again, I'm just spitballing here. This opens up that possibility, not likelihood, but that is an interesting maneuver that Duncan Robinson's no longer on the Heat.
By the way, really quick, just to add on, Shams has added that Detroit is trading Simone Fontecchio to Miami to acquire Duncan Robinson in what is going to officially be a sign-and-trade.
Sign-and-trade.
Between Detroit and Miami.
All right, so they're getting a player back for 50% on the dollar and that whole deal, and okay, so not as much money opened up, but some money opened up.
Right, and Duncan was making 10, so I don't know what Fontecchio makes, but it's probably not that significant, and so it looks like Miami might still have some room, and again, if it's Wiggins who's making 28, then you would need to come close to 28 going out, which would be, if Kuminga gets 25, that's 12.5, and then you throw in Moses Moody, and that's gets you to 24. That would be enough, but I don't know if Miami would look for that as the package that they would want.
Yeah, I don't know. I just know that, like, we've all heard that Miami is one of the potentially interested teams, and they have not taken on any money, and they've had some go out the door. So I would keep even more of an eye on the Miami Heat. And I'd also say, just as an NBA fan, three teams who I feel have won this summer so far, and again, this is all on paper, but the three
it's
teams...
It's one day in, yeah.
Yeah, but there was stuff happening before free agency. There were trades as well.
Oh, yeah.
The three teams that I think so far have won the offseason, Houston Rockets,
yep,
Denver Nuggets, Detroit Pistons.
Yeah, no doubt.
Those are the ones.
Yeah, and for me, it's Denver lesser than the other two because...
Really?
Yeah, I mean, you just went... Nice. And you love Cam Johnson, so love Cam Johnson.
And Hardaway. They got Hardaway today.
Right, and so, you know, you get Porter Jr. out, and you bring in Hardaway Jr., and you bring in Cam Johnson, so, yeah, you get younger with Johnson, and Hardaway's a veteran, so I do like the fact that Denver gets a little bit deeper, and the biggest problem that Denver had this past year was a lack of depth.
What's up, Granny?
I agree with you. And Rockets and Nuggets, I think the Hawks have had an amazing offseason.
Well, the Hawks have had
Nikhil Alexander Walker and Kristaps Porzingis.
They've had a splashy offseason. I'm not the hugest Kristaps Porzingis means you're about to win. And I also, the reason I bring up the Pistons more so than the Hawks, I'm a much bigger fan of their franchise player being someone you build around. I'd build around Cade Cunningham before Trae Young any day of the week. So part of it is not fair because I'm not just talking about the offseason. I'm sort of talking about the puzzle piece that was already in place around which you build. But I hear you. Hawks have, you know, Hawks are on the board. Hawks are doing things. And people love it when you do things.
Well, yeah.
And they don't like it when you don't do things.
And here we are a day and 8 minutes into it. And all the Warriors have done is watch Kevon Looney go to New Orleans. So right now, a day and 8 minutes into it, the Warriors are worse off than they were a day ago.
The Warriors are worse off than they were a day ago? I don't know if I call it even.
Like, so you're saying Kevon was nothing?
No, I'm not
Kevon's
saying he
was nothing.
No, Kevon was, my gosh, he's an icon in this town. But if you're asking me if in the current Warriors situation it made sense to give him $8 million a year, no. It did not.
Well, I'm not talking about salary versus other salary. I'm just talking about the team a day ago versus the team today.
There will be,
where we sit right now.
They're not going to replace him with no one. I don't think that this team has room in this form because of Draymond Green. I don't think they've got a whole lot of room for centers who don't shoot. I think that's the way they've got to play this. It's like Draymond has to play the four, but you sort of have to pretend he's still your five. In other words, like if your four don't shoot, then your five's got to shoot. And so that's why there's Quentin Post. That's why there's always been interest in Vucevic. That's why there's reported interest in Al Horford. They want a seven-footer to be able to shoot so that they can keep using Draymond Green as their four. That's my read.
And I don't know what other shooting five is out there other than Al Horford. And, you know, reports are that L.A. is going to be interested in Horford as well. So if you're Al and you have your pick of the two different spots, if you choose L.A., then what do the Warriors do for that other shooting big? Because Quentin Post is an intriguing, nice, young, you know, 7 foot one guy who can shoot, but he's not a very good defender.
Not yet. Definitely not yet. Rich in Fremont. Hi, Rich. Thanks for the call.
Hey, guys. Thanks. Listen, I'm just calling in, and what's up, Dibs? I'm just calling in because I want to defend Kuminga. I've been listening to people call in saying we should trade him and, you know, he hasn't worked out. You know, it's like nobody's really looking at the full scale of what's going on with this guy. You know, if I'm the front office, you know, trading him is something I probably would have did in the first two seasons if I didn't like him. No, we let him stay here for four seasons. So now it's like, okay, the trade deadline's come. All these teams are making all these moves. And we got a piece right now who's acclimated to the system. And when he's on the floor physically, he balls out. The only time he didn't ball out was when he got hurt. And it's like when he was able to play, what did we do? We sparingly played him. So it's like we didn't really get the most out of the guy, and he couldn't be a star because we didn't give him enough time to do it. So what are we going to do now? We're going to punish Kuminga because we made the decision not to put him out there as much as he wanted to? I don't think that's fair. Jonathan Kuminga is a great.
It's not a punishment, Rich. Why would it be? And trading him earlier, the only reason the Warriors like understand that until now, Jonathan Kuminga has been making about $7 million a year. If you had traded him 2 years ago, you wouldn't have gotten bupkis back. Like it's the contract that to me it didn't make any sense to trade him before. And you also mentioned he's acclimated to the system. I think the Warriors might disagree with you there. I think that's kind of the problem, is they don't feel he's acclimated to the system. So everyone loves to say when he gets a chance, he balls out. I keep reminding people, I know it's unfair, but I do like this thought process. Like, remind yourself, Oh, he came in against Minnesota and he balled out. And their record was?
No, 0-4.
Yeah. The Warriors are concerned about whether or not him balling out has anything to do with winning. Winning. Jordan Poole balls out. Does it win in the NBA? When Jimmy Butler came over, it started to win. To me, that's our rub. That's our rub. And I'm well aware that we're never going to get to the end of the center of the Tootsie Roll Pop on this one. How many licks does it take? Infinity.
Thousands, yeah.
All right. Guess more people want to weigh in.
Not five, not six, not seven.
888-957-9570. Also, Bob Melvin's extension, it's not really an extension, his option has been picked up for next year. Dibs and I both find the timing interesting. We'll get to that. We'd love to hear your reaction on that. Kyle Glazer of MLB is going to join us in about an hour. We're sponsored by LifeSource Water Systems. And this is Willard and Dibs.
Yeah, I don't know.
Now, back to
Will and Dibby
on 95.7 The Game.
Social media is fun.
What's going on over there?
Feliciano, Steph wasn't hurt. Fake injuries are what's best for the league. Halliburton, fake injury, game 7. Yeah, okay. Jesus Christ is king. Professional sports are all fake.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Shout out JC.
I got another one. The Warriors have not done a single move. This is so embarrassing. But then again, you cannot expect much from Joe Lacob.
Right? Yeah. I've set the bar pretty low for Joe. Let me think.
One of the worst owners of sports, Joe Lacob.
Before he got here, they won a title in 75, and then they went to the playoffs about four times until he bought it, and they've won four titles. So, yeah, don't expect much out of Joe.
Yeah.
And what has he done with his WNBA team?
Seriously.
The Valkyries. Like,
I mean, all he's done is buy two teams, and in less than a decade, they are the most expensive two basketball teams in their respective leagues on planet Earth.
And cash me out much on the Valkyries win total. They've already hit it.
Oh, yeah.
With 25 games to go.
Cash me out one time.
It was at 8.5, and I think they're, were they 9-8?
Some got it at 7.5.
Right,
yeah,
right.
Yeah,
I waited.
9-7?
Something like
I
that.
I think they're 9-7. Let me pull up my WNBA standings right now. Yeah, the Valkyries.
Just call your son. He'll let you know.
Yeah, they're 9-7 and currently in the sixth hole in the WNBA standings, in a league of, what, they got 14, right? Or is it 13?
15, seven, and eight, I think they're expanding nine, to 10, 18.
11, 12, 13. 13
they just
teams.
Announced it. Three more teams coming in.
Yeah, so 9-7. But, oh, boy, that schedule's about the gauntlet. The gauntlet is coming. Although they get a nice break. They don't play till Saturday. You get the whole week off. I don't know what that's about. But, yeah, they get the whole week off. At Minnesota, at Atlanta, at Indiana, at Las Vegas, and then home for Phoenix, and then at Seattle. It's a gauntlet.
Yeah, it's tough.
Woo!
Yep.
Anyway. All right.
Yeah, Joe Lacob.
Joe Lacob. I mean, one of these days.
The jury's out, Mark.
Yeah, he'll get something right one of these times. Blind squirrel, not the whole deal. 888-957-9570. Let's go to Doug in Berkeley. Hi, Doug. What are you doing?
Hey, I'm driving home after finishing a bicycle ride.
All right. Nice, Doug.
And I'm feeling pretty good. Are we in a good reception area? Can you hear me?
Yeah, we got you loud and clear. Can't wait to hear what you got to say now. Let's go, Doug.
Okay. So, two things. Number one, off topic. As I said, I was on a bicycle ride, so I don't know if somebody's already mentioned this, but I must shout out to Bobby Bonilla's agent, manager. Well, he was a insurance salesman, I think, who arranged that contract. Today's the day he gets paid every year $1.9 million for another 10 years.
Correct.
Until he's 62. Unbelievable. I'd love to have that, even in today's inflated contract market. So shout out to Bobby Bonilla. And then the next thing I want to say is Jonathan Kuminga. I think that unless there is now a clear-cut free agent who is clearly better than him, I think that we actually must keep him. And I think that the Warriors actually know more than you know, we're wringing our hands about what to do, what to do. I think the Warriors probably have a little bit better finger on the pulse of what the league says he's worth than we know. So I'm not going to get too stressed out about it. Nobody is mistaking Mike Dunleavy for our previous general manager. But
now, why do you say that?
Why
do you say that, Doug?
Well, I just said I think he's doing the best he can with what he's got. I think he's doing a more admirable job than people. Because Bob Myers, you know, he's well respected. He was great, and there's a lot of comparisons. But I think that Dunleavy is doing okay.
Okay.
I think he's doing okay.
There was something in there that sort of sounded like you thought Dunleavy was kind of disappointing when you said nobody's mistaken him for Bob Myers. I mean, it's only been a couple of seasons, but I don't know what Mike Dunleavy has done so far that's kind of like been disappointing or blown up in his face. Do you see anything?
I'm kind of with you, but, you know, you hear a lot. And, you know, you compare him to a guy that was there when 4 championships. I hear that a lot when I talk with my buddies, and you hear it a lot. It's alluded to on your station. So I'm unusual, but I'm with you. I think we need to give him some more time, and let's see what happens.
Yeah, Doug, thanks. I hope the bike ride was great.
I just look at like the headline of the Dunleavy era for me starts with a Jimmy Butler acquisition.
Yeah.
And then you add in things like, you know, Quentin Post and Trayce Jackson-Davis. And then you can sprinkle in a little bit of a Klay Thompson sign and trade, which begot players that begot other things. And he's been able to shuffle the deck chairs to where you wind up with second round picks that actually have stuck and stayed, and they're a part of what you're trying to do. And you added Jimmy Butler for all those pieces you brought in. All those pieces went back out, and it's kind of turned into Jimmy Butler.
Don't forget Pajemski either.
Yep.
I mean, like, I know that some people still have, you know, a jury's still out kind of a feel on Brandon Pajemski, but that is a somewhat late first round pick that I would argue so far has been pretty good. And I'd like to tie the last offseason to the Jimmy Butler trade. Like, don't forget this. Remember where we were exactly a year ago. Who were the Warriors going after, and what did they want to do? What were all of our shows about this time last year? Plays for the Utah Jazz.
Yep.
His name is Lauri Markkanen.
That's right.
And the Warriors went after Lauri Markkanen. And I think that if you want to criticize Dunleavy, I give you the thing you can criticize him for, but it didn't actually happen. But he tried to make it happen. The Warriors tried to get Paul George, and the Clippers wouldn't play nice, and so they didn't get Paul George. And you can criticize Mike for that if you want, because that would have been a horrible move, in my opinion. I don't think that would have worked out, but he didn't do it. So they went for a big name, and when they couldn't get the big name, they instead started to gather short-term contracts that they knew might be able to be a part of a financial deal at the deadline. It was like, all right, if we're not going to get a big name now, let's be ready to get a big name in February. And then they did. They packaged with Andrew Wiggins a bunch of those one-year deals that he signed, and they were able to turn those into Jimmy Butler, who then came here and they won a bunch of basketball games. Pretty good move by a GM.
Right.
It's a pretty good move.
Sometimes the moves you don't make or can't make are the best moves you possibly can go through, and the Paul George is a great example, and even the Lauri Markkanen, where Danny Ainge was asking too much, and so that didn't happen, and Paul George didn't happen, and even Kevin Durant.
Yep.
He tried to package Jonathan Kuminga and a bunch of other stuff to get KD at the deadline, and KD said, nah, I'm good, and so you had to pivot to Jimmy Butler, who, it turns out, is probably a better fit. He was last year, and now for the next 2 years, it's probably a better short-term fit as well, so sometimes it's better to be lucky than good, but I do think that Mike Dunleavy's gone about doing this in the only way that they can, which is you've got Steph, the highest paid player in the game. You've got Draymond on a contract that he didn't necessarily sign. He was a part of the team, but I think that was still Bob Myers and Joe Lacob. And so now you're trying to figure out how to build around the edges, and he's doing the best he can, and now he's faced with a big week this week on what to do with Kuminga.
I think Mike Dunleavy's done a wonderful job so far. Obviously, you haven't had sort of the landmark stuff. I just don't think you've had any huge misses either. I don't think there's been any huge blunders. And so to say that, like, he's not on Bob Meyer's plane, okay, I get that. Like, he oversaw championships, but he also oversaw a bunch of high-level draft picks that people now don't like. You know what I mean? James Wiseman, for starters. So, anyway, GPD in Oakland is next up. Hey, GPD.
This is James Wiseman.
Thanks, James. What up, GPD?
Hey, what's up, James? What's up, baby? How do it, man?
Hey,
man.
Grandpa Daddy?
That's right. We're doing it.
So, you know, I just want to say, people, why are people so emotional? It's business. You know, let me say this. I want to say something about Kuminga. Good kid. Hey, he's a baller. He just don't rebound. He just don't do everything he's supposed to do. That dude sat there with some of the greatest minds in basketball for, what, 4 years, 3 years, 4 years. And what did he learn? He learned how to shoot more, shoot better, and that's it. So here's the thing, bro. Here's the thing. People, all you people listening need to listen to this. It's business, baby. Let me tell you what happened. Over the weekend, I took my daughter to the first gymnastics class. She did great, and guess why? Because she listened to the instructor. She listened to her teacher. She finds gold. Bruh, you, how old you are? You can't even, and she's getting better by the day. I mean, it's only been one day, but she got better in one day. Listen to your teachers. Don't think that you're all that in the bag of chips plus tax yet. Everybody wants to be a star. But there's more to being a star than just shooting the ball and balling out. So here it is. I think that the Warriors actually will be better. You know why? Because they already got their big guy. They got Jimmy Butler. Yeah, everybody said, oh, look what happened, blah, 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 blah. But look what's going to happen next year. Quinn Post is going to get better. TJD is going to be better. Jimmy Butler, they're going to come together, and they're going to actually come together better. And they're going to be balling. I got confidence in the fact that now that they got Jimmy Butler, he's going to get in from the beginning. Boy, they're going to be, I think they're going to be balling. I really do, guys. And people need to stop this with Kuminga about it ain't fair. Well, it ain't fair when my boss fired me when I wasn't doing my job right. If you guys don't do your job right, what's going to happen to you?
It's too soon, Grandpa Daddy. It's too soon. And it's already happened by this very company, this very station. But you're not wrong, and I appreciate the call, Grandpa Daddy.
Thanks, GPD.
I hesitate to look at guys who were your 9th, 10th, and 11th men last year and think they're going to get better and that's going to be the difference. Now, is Quentin going to get better? I hope so. And Gee and TJD, are they all going to get better as younger players? Well, they better get better because that's your job as a pro basketball player. But to think that that is going to be the elixir or the cure for what ails you, that's where I kind of pump the brakes a little bit.
I don't disagree with you, but I guess my question back to you is, do the Warriors need to be fixed? Quote, what ails you? What ails them?
Well, the biggest ailment, I think, is age and depth.
Okay, well, look, the age thing is what it is.
Correct.
There was nothing that was going to happen in July to change that.
Right, but I do look at your depth, and Kevon is gone, and it looks like GP2 is also going to be gone, and I know that he fought ailments and injury throughout the year. Kevon was mostly healthy and there for you, but as you look now at your depth, and you look beyond your starting five, and I don't even know who your starting five would be on this day, July 1st, but you look at your second five, and you're looking at guys like Quentin Post in the second year, and Gee Santos, and TJD, who didn't play a lot, and so you've got Buttered,
There are going to be new players coming.
I understand.
They're coming.
As we sit here, it looks to me like the things that concern me are age, which you can't really fix. Yeah. You're pot committed on that.
Yeah.
And your depth, which I'm not totally sold on these players being able to step up.
I understand that. I get that. I do think that, again, we do forget that the Warriors were good. They were good. So, you know what I mean? Like, were they good enough? No. Were they healthy enough? No. Does that mean that that's going to happen exactly that way this year? No, it could. That's an omnipresent threat. No question about it. But, you know, like, put it this way. This is not a perfect comp, but it's not an imperfect one either. The Minnesota Timberwolves, what have they done this offseason? What have they done?
Well, they pretty much are running it back.
Kind of. They brought back, they've re-signed two of their big names, and one key contributor is gone. Walker Alexander is gone. All right? So, have they cured what ails them? Because they fell short. Or could we say, well, but they're really good. Except for in the same breath, the Warriors were up 1-0 on them, and a lot of people I know think that they would have beat them if Steph hadn't gotten hurt.
Yeah, that's a hypothetical.
Yeah, of course
you
is.
Can think whatever you want to think.
All of these things are.
Like would the Niners have beaten Philadelphia if Brock Purdy's arm didn't fall off? I don't believe so.
And that's
some
fine.
Do.
But the larger question is if you don't win at all, does that mean something ails you? Or did it just not land your way this time? I really think that that's a question, and you can answer it however you want, but
right.
But every Warrior fan should ask themselves, is there something actually like just glaringly wrong with the Warriors?
Nothing's glaringly wrong with you, but I don't think that you could look at it and say, oh, that's a championship team, and I look around the Western Conference and I see other teams that have already gotten better than you, and you know, you weren't lucky to beat Houston. But Houston is already better now than they were when you beat them 2 months ago.
In theory, on paper. But they got older, therefore their injury risk goes up too.
They got older. Şengün is now 24 instead of 23. I get that.
Their star is what, 36?
Right.
Kevin Durant, that's going to be their leading scorer.
Yes, but they've got a much deeper and younger team. So I don't think you look at Houston and think, oh, you know, catch my breath, they're old. Fred VanVleet's like 32, and he's your sixth best player.
No, but if Kevin Durant gets hurt on that team going into the playoffs next year, they're not a threat, in my opinion.
Right, and same thing with Steph Curry. As
absolutely.
You said, and he's going to be 37, and he's going to be even older.
Same thing with Anthony Edwards.
Same thing with Draymond Green and Jimmy Butler.
Right,
so
I mean,
if you want to play the age game, like you've got older guys more likely to get hurt, and we talked about Achilles injuries, and the majority of those guys were older guys who hurt their Achilles, and so that's what you're looking down the gauntlet of as an older team.
And that is omnipresent, and we knew that already. I guess my point is the journey still needs to unfold. So we'll sit here today and go, well, that's not a championship roster, except for 6 weeks ago, a lot of people were like, I think they got a puncher's chance. And now it's like, but now you have to make wholesale changes. Why? Why? And by the way, you can't. You can't.
Well, why is a different question than the answer of you can't. Because yes, you can't. And why would be because you need to be better. You weren't good enough to get by Minnesota. Yeah, Steph got hurt, sure. You weren't good enough to get by OKC, in my opinion. We'll never know because they didn't get a chance to play him. And then the NBA Finals, who knows? You wound up with 5 wins instead of 16.
Yeah,
it's not like you won 13.
I didn't think they were going to win, but they definitely were one of the, I don't know, 6 or 7 classiest teams in the NBA. Like, they were definitely one of the teams that it was like, right, the playoffs started, they were one of the top 5 in odds. They were one of the teams
where
you were
one of the last 8 playing.
Yeah.
That, to me, is more important than the odds.
Because
the odds are always going to be skewed toward a team that draws the most action.
Maybe, but they were in the last 8 and had a leg up to be last 4 until Steph got hurt. Again, I'm not sitting here telling you they were going to win it. I never thought they would. But I can also look at them and go, yeah, they're in the mix. That's a pretty good basketball team. And then we pop out the other side with one hamstring injury. And I keep hearing people want wholesale changes. I'm not saying you don't tweak it.
Yeah.
Get better. But wholesale changes was never part of the
ingredients. You can't make wholesale changes unless you want to go full Boston and take 2 of your top 4 highest paid guys and ship them out for less.
I wouldn't want to even if they could.
Well, they're not going to.
Yeah.
So I don't even know what we're talking about. We're talking about them getting better on the margins. And if Draymond and Steph and Jimmy Butler are your top 3 players, How do you get players 4 through 10 to be better than they were last year? That, for me, is what the job is right now.
Absolutely.
And if that means Kuminga comes back and he plays better and he plays a bigger role, that would be ideal. But I don't know if that is really on his mind or their mind, because it feels to me like that relationship is not in a place where he could come back and play for whatever they'll pay him and fit in the way that they want him to fit in.
888-957-957. Let's go to Chris in Half Moon Bay. Hi, Chris. What's going on?
Hey, fellas. Okay. Here's my take. I know you guys got a different take. I just heard your take on that, but it's championship or bust. We have a 2-year window. 2 year where Steph's going to be at championship level. 2-year window, championship or bust. That means I don't care about 3 years from now or 5 years from now or 10 years from now, what the team looks like, who's on it. It's 2 years right now, and that means all in, and that means Giannis. And I know, like, it can't be done. It's contracts and stuff. If you're the Lakers, you figure out a way to do it. The Lakers have always figured out a way to do it. Creativity with draft picks, and, yeah, Kuminga's gone. If you want a guy that's going to score 23 on a mid-level playoff team and then, you know, disappear in the playoffs when it's crunch time to hit that three-pointer to win the game, okay, keep the roster you've got. They weren't going to win last year, although it was fun, and they're not going to win next year without a big change. So package up some guys, clear some cap space, get rid of draft picks for the next 10 years because you've got 2 years. 2 years with Steph. Yeah. Let's get rings. I know you guys went through it. I went through the 80s, 90s, and aughts with this team. If we got a chance for a ring now, this year, next year, get it.
Chris,
you never know when that chance going to come again.
Well, first of all, I can promise you with your idea, I can promise you it will never come again over the next 20 years, and that's fine. I'm not even going to call you crazy, Chris. What I'm going to say to you, though, is that what you're saying sort of sounds like a campaign promise. In other words, does it sound great. All in. Push everything in the middle. I don't care about anything after the next 2 years. That sounds wonderful, but I literally want to know, based on CBA rules, how you even consider getting this done. And I know that the Windhorse of the world and whatnot have been on TV in the past going like, is there a path to a Giannis deal? Like, I mean, in theory, it's like legal. You could do it. I do want you to understand, just as a baseline so we don't get too complex, if the Warriors were to go get Giannis, it doesn't mean package some guys and some picks. It means your team would be Steph, Giannis, Butler, and nothing but minimum salaries. Like, literally junk. That would be your team. Do you actually think that team would win?
Okay, well, I'm not fully on board with your assessment of that. There'll be some other players there.
No, Chris, I'm telling you, CBA rules. Like, we've done the math. I'm telling you, you're renouncing rights to players. You're sending everyone to Milwaukee and minimum salaries. That is it.
Well, okay, guys, I'm telling you that we need to get longer and more athletic in the low post area. And if we don't do that, yeah, we'll make the playoffs next year. We're not winning rings the next 2 years, and that's the end of the Steph era. And I'd just like to see a push in. And I hate to say it because you guys are going to flip out. Yeah, that means Jimmy's on the table. And I love him, and he's done great. But if that's what it takes.
Yeah, and he's not tradable till August. So, Chris, thanks. Again, I don't want to get – like, I understand. I don't want to get into all of the rules and – machinations and all of this stuff. What you said there at the end, I'm fine with. If you think the Warriors need to get longer and more athletic, I agree with you. Giannis is not the answer to that. It's just not feasible.
Well,
it's not doable.
You could trade Jimmy for him straight up. They make the exact same amount of money, and you could package 4 first-round picks and 3 pick swaps, and you could do it if Milwaukee was ready to punt on that, and it could be Steph and Giannis and Draymond and all the rest of your squad. Does that mean that you're going to go out there and be a title team? No. I personally don't think so. Yeah. And then in 2 years when those guys are all gone, you're left with no picks and pretty much no players and no hope. And they're not going to do that.
And again, Jimmy, not even tradable yet. So you couldn't even get into that conversation right now. We're brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. Kyle Glazer of MLB is a half hour away. Yeah, Grandy, what do you got on the Giants?
Really quick, the Giants made a roster move a little bit ago. Christian Koss, who came up lame on that home run slash double slash out in the eighth inning last night.
Whatever the hell.
He has been placed on the 10-day injured list with a left hamstring strain. Luis Matos, outfielder, has been recalled from AAA Sacramento. And we have a Giants lineup. Third baseman tonight without Christian Koss, without Matt Chapman, without Casey Schmidt. It is Wilmer Flores.
Wow!
Rafi Devers is still DHing. Dominic Smith is at first.
Wilmer Flores.
So that's how we feel about Rafael Devers at third?
It's already been completely, like they've showed their hand.
You'd rather put a stiff, we'd rather have you DH Wilmer Flores at third?
I'm not agreeing.
My God.
I'm not saying agreement. I'm just telling you every move they've made so far has screamed, no matter what, we're not putting him at third base.
Okay.
And last thing, Jung Hoo Lee, a day off today against Zach Allen.
Finally.
Sounds great. Make it two.
Well.
No, anyway. You know what? Bob Melvin had his option picked up. I would love to get a big heaping ton of stuff off my chest about last night. And now we can talk a little bit about third base too. Wilmer Flores, who can't move. How many times are the Diamondbacks bunting tonight? I'll put the over-under at 11.5.
Not 5, not 6, not 7.
All right, let's talk about this next on Willard and Dibs.
Koss, it's a high towering drive. It is out of here. And this game is tied.
Wait a minute. Wait, we're reviewing some things, apparently. Hold up.
After review, the call on the field is overturned. There was no interference. However, during the review, it was ruled that the ball would not have left the ballpark, so batter runner is awarded second base.
Now, back to
Dillard and Wibbs
on 95.7 The Game.
I hate it. I've always hated it, and you know this, Mark. You know this about me. We're going to get the calls right. No, you don't. No, you don't. No, you don't. I hate it.
I'm so mad at baseball. I don't like being mad.
I'm mad at replay.
I just don't. But all of it.
I'm mad at
all of it.
Brandon, Brankin. I'm mad at his index finger twirling in the air. I'm mad at umpires who waddle over to put headsets on. I'm mad at NFL officials who peer into monitors. I'm mad at all of it.
Yeah, I hear you.
Because you don't get it right. And yesterday was just like, we keep thinking about how many different ways the Giants can lose games. And this one was, I mean, it was their fault because then they imploded as they have of late, but that's a home run.
Of course it's a home run.
A home run.
Of course it's a home run.
The one thing it's not is an out.
I just.
Freaking idiots.
It's also not a double.
But it's.
A double.
Like, of it's the three first, outcomes.
It's the first double in the history of ever that a fan caught the ball on the fly on the other side of the fence and somebody went, it's a double. That's never happened. Somebody explain to me when that's ever happened in the history of the game ever. I came out of this thing mad at five different things. Literally. Replay is one of them. Secondly, why do you have a situation where fans can reach onto the field? Why is that a thing?
Right.
Why is that a thing? That shouldn't be a thing. That should not, like, there's no other sport in the world where they're like, all right, buy a ticket and you too can be a part of the game. Just come on the field. Like, let's start reaching for pucks in hockey or let's start tripping players in the NBA. Like, what on earth? I mean, Pods actually is part of WNBA games. But anyway, why is that a thing? Why, baseball umpires, are we not allowed to talk to you? When you keep messing up, like, I'm walking to work on a daily basis with nothing but advertisements, with pictures of fake people who apparently are going to replace all of the jobs in the next 10 to 20 years. and people are like terrified of this, but we won't replace umpires, or we won't even question them. We won't even talk to them. We have all the technology in the world and seemingly cannot figure out how to utilize it. Somewhere along the road, every time there's a baseball game, I end up mad at baseball, and that also does not give a waiver to the Giants, who somehow allowed them to come out of the replay situation, announce this thing, as you just heard Grandy play, and the camera immediately goes to Bob Melvin, and Melvin's like, all right, Cost is at second. We need a pinch runner.
Right.
What?
Cost is at second. We need a pinch runner because he got hurt
right
before he got into his trot, out of the box.
Out of the box.
Right? Yeah.
Right out of the box.
Out of the box, he's hurt. And it's like, the fact that I am heartbroken over the loss of Christian Cost, no disrespect to him, but he had become their most surefire hitter. Not the guy making nine figures. Not the other guy making nine figures. Not the guy you gave a six-year deal to in center field who was supposed to be a better hitter. Chris Cost has made me heartbroken. He's made me slump, because he's going to be out. So that feeling in and of itself, Mark, had me like, Cost needs to get pinch run for, and you could tell right away, that's going to probably cost him a week and or more, and now he's on the 10-day.
He's on the IL.
And I'm thinking, they're going to be without Cost? And I heard myself say that to myself, and I'm like, listen to what you're saying inside your own head. You're devastated that Christian Cost is going to be out? Is that where we are offense?
In a week and a half ago, I was begging them to send him back down.
Yep.
And now
all he does is hit line drives and home runs and that are doubles.
And he's the only person in the world who can play third base, apparently.
Well.
But now Wilmer Flores is playing third base. And, by the way, Buster Posey he's talking to the media in Arizona. He was just quoted and said, yes, Rafi Devers is now an option. We're going to have Rafi Devers as an option to play third base. Because I didn't even think about this. If they're playing Wilmer at third base tonight, they're not playing him there two nights in a row. They won't do that. They got a day game on Thursday. They're not doing that. They're not putting Wilmer over there to play every night. He has no knees. They're going to have to play Rafi Devers over there, which completely interrupts all the work he's been trying to do
right
to get ready to go play first base. Now he's going to go back to playing third base. And so the Giants now will flip-flop back and forth between two guys who have played third base before but aren't really very good at it. And so that's what we got until Chapman gets back, which is probably only a week. So, like, in theory, this will go away quickly. But, yeah, that's what we got. I mean, it's unbelievable right now. The Giants game starts, and it's not like, I know the thing you keep saying, we gotta find new ways to lose. That's not it. It's find new ways to tick the fans off.
They go hand in hand.
On a nightly basis. Well, no, it's not just the losses. It's the way they're happening. And then the things that are also happening around them. I don't want this to sound like complaining about umps, because the Giants get breaks that go their direction too. It happened in the Red Sox series. I'm not complaining that the umps have taken something from the Giants. I just can't stand the umps, no matter what the hell they're calling. The league seems to consistently have this ability to not be in touch with its fans, to not connect with its fans, to not understand what the hell's going on around it. And it's literally what's causing this slow death of the league. You can't do stuff like this. And then, by the way, we didn't even mention that video seems to be showing that this dude just has seats out there in the front row of the left field, and he does this twice a year. There's video of him. He took a home run from Joey Bart a couple years ago.
No.
Yes. Yes.
As a Pirate or as a Giant?
As a Giant.
Oh, no.
This guy.
The same guy.
It's the same guy.
Thank you.
He's done this like five times, and it has consistently led to
Antioch train.
Ground rule doubles and confusion, and he gets kicked out every time, but he's back tomorrow. He'll probably be there tonight.
Yeah.
What are you all doing? What are we doing?
That's right. What are we doing? We've created. Lord. In almost every ballpark and almost every outfield home run fence, we have this exact same thing. I know it's not every park, and I'm thinking about Wrigley, where you've got the beautiful ivy, you've got about a 2-foot chain link fence,
yep.
and then you've got a little bit of a buffer. So if you're a fan and you really want to get out and up and over, that's going to be a stretch. You're going to have somebody hold
you
your feet.
Yeah, you can't.
It's a long way for you to go.
Dude, you'll get so hurt. Yeah.
Right. And even like at the Monster, if you have seats on top of the Green Monster,
that's terrifying.
Yeah, go ahead. Good luck.
That's death.
Yeah. That is death. So every park has its own nuance, and the whole yellow line becomes so nebulous. But last night, even like beyond the umps huddling and calling it out, I'm watching the game with my wife. We had just put the baby down, and I'm like, the one thing that's not isn't out. And I'm starting to rant and rave, and she's looking up from her phone like, what's wrong with you? Because she's into the Giants, but less and less so now with each passing day. She watches it with me, and she's like, you know, she's saying things like,
good for her.
She's mad.
She doesn't want to be stressed out every night.
They stink.
Yeah.
This is disgusting and the rest of it. And so I'm like, the one thing that is not isn't out. Like, if you want to call it a double, you're wrong. But I could see you calling it a double. You're wrong. The one thing you can't say is that's an out. Literally, he didn't catch the ball.
I mean.
Like, so I'm with you. It's replay. It's the damn yellow line instead of a real home run fence. And I can't help but think about our company softball game where Guru hit a home run. And, you know, there was a fence. But, you know, the fence was not like, hey, it's over the fence and it's down the street. It was over the fence, but it. You know, I could see an umpire saying, oh, that's snuck under the fence.
I mean,
shut up!
I know.
Quite frankly, how the hell, if you're all old enough to remember the Steve Bartman situation in Chicago with Moise Alou, you're old enough, you know what I'm talking about, right, Grandy?
Oh, of course.
Okay.
He does, but I don't think he's old enough to have watched it.
Well, whatever.
I don't remember watching it live,
as long as you know what happened there. How the hell did that not become the last day ever that a fan can reach onto the field? That should have been the last time in the history of baseball that that can ever happen. And everybody just went, oh, that's a cute story there. Now this guy, like the Cubs, are going to get knocked out of the playoffs, and this guy can never leave his house for the rest of his life. I think he lives in, I don't know, Kentucky or something now, or hell, maybe in Europe. I mean, maybe he's in Turkey. Like, literally, the guy could not leave his house.
They actually brought him back a couple years ago.
Yeah, because it's finally calmed down.
Right.
After a decade and a half.
The other one is the Jeffrey Mayer incident.
Yes, in New York.
1996, Jeter hits a ball, and this 12-year-old fan blatantly reaches over. And again, the umpires, that's a home run. No, it's not. The kid is like literally stretched out over Tony Tarasco, and it's a home run. So, yes, like, I don't know why it is so hard to fix. It's really not. Just go ahead and move people back. Yep. You still will have a great seat.
Well, and the bottom line is you'll never convince me that baseball, like managers, how are they? They're sitting on the field level and off to the side. So the fact that, for instance, Bob Melvin comes out, and I want to talk to this about everybody because there is some developing news with regard to not just the fact that his option was picked up, but why. Buster Posey has explained himself. Because your thought on timing and my thought on timing were kind of proven right by what Buster just said. We'll let you know here in a second. But Bob Melvin comes out and gets thrown out while all of us are at commercial because Elliot Ramos is called out on strikes on a ball that was clearly 2 inches outside. Okay, fine. It's 2 inches outside. That happens 8 times a game, first and foremost. That happens every night.
Yep.
So why'd you go get thrown out? And how is it that you, sitting in a dugout off to the side, are so flipping confident that that ball wasn't in the strike zone? How do you know that? Well, that's because there's analytics people. That's because there are cameras. That's because there is information being passed along to the coaches on the spot. And therefore, I am of the belief that they're being told that was outside. We saw it in the box. It's outside. So now Melvin goes out to protect his guy and scream and yell about that. Well, too late. Too late. That's something that is going to happen in every baseball game until we have robo-umps and until balls and strikes in the box are reviewable. But the fact that you sat there so calmly when a game-tying home run in the 8th inning was ruled as a concocted double is wild to me. That is your opportunity to make that play a story. It's your opportunity to make it fixable, to get everybody in the nation talking about that play. It's almost your obligation. You have got to get out on the field and lose your mind. And it's not to flip the spread and inspire your team. It's to show baseball and the umpires up for stuff that just flat out can't happen anymore. We cannot have balls getting hit out into the stands, having fans catching them on the fly, and then having umpires decide that that's a double in a one-run game in the eighth inning. We can't do this. This is a no from me, dog. You cannot have that be a part of your game. It's embarrassing. It's embarrassing. You're in New York staring at angles, trying to figure out what a ball would have done if Bob in section 317 didn't get in the way. Are you kidding me? There's way too much on the line for this. We can't. You can't do this.
Especially when you're in this spot, in this situation where you are desperate for a victory. You're coming off a 1-5 stretch against two of the worst teams in baseball, and now here you are, division rival. And if Arizona sweeps you, you are now in fourth in the West, where, you know, 3 weeks ago, you were right behind the Dodgers. You were knocking on their door, and they probably wouldn't have answered your knock, but at least you were threatening. And now you go to Arizona, and you have this happen. And I'm looking at the umpire scorecard for the game. I don't know if you follow ump scorecards on Twitter.
Oh.
It's a great account. And what they do is they give you the accuracy of an umpire. And the real good metric is the overall favor. And in this game, Arizona got a 0.94 runs favored their way, which is a pretty big number. Now, the accuracy
plus,
was...
Plus, it's also inaccurate. They got a 1.94 runs favor because...
This is just the strike zone.
I know, exactly.
Well,
I'd like to add in the home run they took away.
They highlight the three most impactful missed calls in the strike zone, and the most impactful was the Miller Ramos...
Yep.
Strike three.
The one that Melvin
that
got
was about
out.
2 inches inside, according to this graphic. But it's a good follow on X if you're interested in just seeing, like, if you feel like your team got screwed or your team got a favorable strike zone, this is a good way to look at it and you get a good idea.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station in the home of the Golden State Warriors and Valkyries. Always live on the free Odyssey app, coming to you live from the Laughing Mug Studios.